let's bring on our next guest and get his perspective on this. You guys can read Bill Bender at the Sporting News. He's a college football writer, or follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. Bill, how are you, man? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, we've been discussing the best and worst case scenario for the Utes. I know the San Jose Mercury News just put it out there today. They think Utah could go 5-7, and I'm assuming that's kind of a worst case scenario. Do you agree with that as a worst case scenario, Bill, for the Utes? And how wide do you see that spectrum of best and worst case?
Yeah, you know, I did an article on that with the top 25 that we had, and you know, it could go anywhere. That's the pack. That's life in the Pac-12 South. I mean, you could be a 9-win team. I think Utah, I have them projected to finish second in the division, and quite honestly, I think they could win the division. But worst case, if you don't bring it every night in that conference, yeah, you could finish 5-7.
If you think that they have a real chance of winning the South, Bill, does that mean that going to USC on October 14th is a must-win game for Utah?
Well, yeah, that's the biggest game in the division, I think. Just because USC is going to be coming off a just brutal September, if you look at it. I mean, you know, playing Texas, playing Stanford, playing a Friday night game in Pullman. And then that's just the Pac-12, as you guys know, I'm sure you talk about. I mean, you could go 1 week, you got to go to Pullman, then you're going to Tucson, then you might be home the next week. There's just a lot of geography in that conference, a lot of contrast in styles. And, you know, Utah, new offensive coordinator, experienced quarterback, they've given USC problems in the past. I think that's going to be the game that determines the division.
Has anything changed your mind throughout fall camp about the way you've projected the Pac-12? I mean, any news or updates, anything encourage or discourage you so far?
Not really. And, you know, camp is that time where you just don't want something bad to happen. I think it's happened in a couple other conferences, whether it was the suspensions with Florida and Callaway and those kind of things. It definitely alters that Michigan game. Or, you know, Wisconsin losing a guy like Jack Sishy for the year. So unless there's, like, a major injury or, you know, I guess the Carrington transfer was interesting because now you got a guy that can get down the field a little bit. But, I mean, other than that, I think, you know, most of it's pretty status quo. I mean, what we picked in the Pac-12, I didn't really break any limbs with my predictions. And I think, you know, picking USC and Washington in the Pac-12 championship game is probably what most people are going to do.
You say the Darren Carrington transfer is interesting. What do you mean by that?
Well, I still go back to seeing him play in the Rose Bowl a few years ago, where he was the guy that got down the field vertically, you know, made a couple touchdowns. Obviously, he's had some off-the-field issues, but, you know, he gives the presence of a guy that can get down the field. And again, in an offense, when you have a guy that can get over top of the safeties like that, and maybe if he can do it consistently, that would be huge for Utah's offense. That's kind of a thing they've been looking for a little bit, and if you get that, and that's why he's interesting to me. Any receiver that can break the top, you know, has a high yards per average catch, is the type of guy definitely that piques my interest. Maybe that's because I played in high school and pretended like I was good.
Troy Williams was second in the Pac-12 in passes over 40 yards, but also had some turnover and some red zone issues. What's your take on everyone's assumed starting quarterback for Utah, Troy Williams, or is he the starter in your opinion?
Yeah, he is. I think so. And again, a guy that could take that next step. And if he does, Utah will have a chance. I mean, I don't know, all summer I've talked about Sam Darnold. I've hardly got to talk about any other quarterback in that division, whether it's him or Rosen or you know, whoever Arizona State puts out there between Wilkins and Barnett. I mean, I think the Pac-12 South has the best 1-6, best division of quarterbacks in terms of 1-6. I mean, everybody's pretty good. So that's one of the Montez even. So I know it's a deal where Williams is going to have to be better. He's going to, like you said, he can get the ball down the field. You can get a guy like Carrington. That's great. You got good receivers. That's a good thing too. But, he'll have to be more consistent, and I think, you know, Whittingham would probably tell you the same thing.
A lot of talk lately of the University of Oregon and how they should exceed expectations in the Pac-12. What do you make of an Oregon Ducks outfit this year?
Well, the company line I've been using all summer is I don't really know, and I know that's real insightful for your radio program, but they're definitely an X-factor team because I think Willie Taggart's a great coach. I think he did a fantastic job at South Florida and before that at Western Kentucky. You know, they're going to have an up-tempo offense, quarterback-friendly for Herbert. And, you know, it seems like Royce Freeman's been there forever. they'll be able to score points, and it's and Levitt will do a good job on defense, I think. But that's where it really rests on. They're now in a division where Washington and Stanford are just physical teams, and they want to beat you up. And I think that's the challenge for Oregon. Are you going to get physical a little bit? I don't know that they'll be able to run people off the field like they did with Chip Kelly in the early Helfrich era.
How good is Josh Rosen going to be this year? The UCLA quarterback's made a name for himself on the field and off. What's his potential this year?
Well, he has to be good. He has to stay healthy. It's just been an interesting arc with him as well because, I remember going back to the first game against Virginia where I thought he was the best prospect at quarterback I'd seen in years. And then it's just been an up and down ride from there for the former five-star guy. It's crazy that, I just assume that Utah is going to be the biggest challenge when, in theory, UCLA should be that team because they've got the talent. They've got guys around Rosen that can play. They've got to run the football better. They were abomination at that last year. So I think if they can run the ball a little bit better, Rosen stays healthy and again, can just be the quarterback they need him to be. This is a guy that he might be a first-round NFL draft pick, and he really hasn't, if you think about it, he hasn't accomplished a ton at the college level.
Do you have a Pac-12 school going to the college football playoffs this year?
With USC. Sporting News picked USC. We have them high. And I just like Darnold. I was watching the replay of that game against UCLA the other night. He's a little bit more shifty and mobile than I thought, too. So, seeing that and seeing the ability to throw, and USC can move the needle. I think they're going to get through that September. They may lose a game in there. And it might be interesting down the stretch because of the depth in that division. But I think if they can get to the Pac-12 championship game, they'll win, and they'll get a spot in the playoff, probably at the expense of the Big 12, because I think you can pencil in an ACC, an SEC team, and by that I mean Alabama, and then somebody out of the Big Ten East.
Sounds like USC is going to be pretty solid on defense. You mentioned Darnold. He's an incredible talent. Does USC have enough on the edge on offense? Do they have enough playmakers at receiver, in your opinion, at least right now?
Burnett's pretty good. They've got him, and they've got Jones in the backfield. That guy's got some explosion, too. And then on the defensive side, guys like Cam Smith, he's a preseason All-American for us. If the secondary holds up, they're going to be fine. That's the one thing with them. They always have the talent. 4- and 5-star guys, but I think until the back half of last year, it had been a while since we had seen USC kind of play up to their potential. So if they do that again and pick up where they left off, and that's easier said than done. You can't just, hey, we're going to be the great offense that we were at the end of the Rose Bowl against Penn State. They obviously had in some work, and the offensive line's the one area of concern I would have. So with all that in mind, I still think they've got enough talent to run through the Pac-12 South.
September 9th is a very big day here on the calendars in the state of Utah, Bill. It's, of course, Utah at BYU down there in Lavelle Edwards Stadium. What do you make of the BYU Cougars this year?
Well, Mangum's good. Mangum's good. They've got Wisconsin early, too. That's a tricky game for the Badgers. They play LSU. That's a heck of a September for a school that's not in a conference right now. They can really build their profile by taking one or two of those games. I believe they played Boise next. I don't have it in front of me, but huge game. It's a game I've always wanted to go to because as a kid that grew up in the Ohio State Michigan rivalry and being in the middle of it, I always like to kind of compare and contrast to some of the other bigger rivalries. And I know that's one that they should play every year. I'm glad that they're playing this year, and it'll be hotly contested. I think it's tall, but that'll be one of those one score games that'll come down to the wire.
You guys can read him at the Sporting News. Follow him on Twitter at BillBender92. He's Bill Bender. Bill, we appreciate you jumping on with us. Have a great weekend.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.